Step down to the get down.
All right, whenever you're ready.
5 seconds to the open.
Two men.
Make that 3 men.
No marketable skills. Always just one step away. One step away from the unemployment line.
Strip Club Radio with Tim Rhodes, Dane Hansen, and Glenn Miller starts now.
Showtime. Oh, wow.
It is.
My microphone's hot. Jesus.
Strip Club Radio. Tim Rhodes. That's Dane Hansen. He's the president of Panda.
He's not wearing a shirt.
He's in West Palm Beach. He's not wearing a shirt. We got Glenn Miller in Dallas, Texas.
Hey there.
And I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. We are three strip club DJs who do this podcast to inform. Maybe we have some interviews and we kind of educate. We get people in the industry that know what the fuck they're talking about and we share our knowledge. And we also, we peel back the curtain of the strip club industry. Because the combined, we have, what, 90 years between the three of us now? Something like that?
About that, yeah.
Pretty close, yeah.
So it's not a pretty scene when you peel back the curtain these days.
No, could I peel back the curtain in a story, everybody? Can we do story time?
Let's do story time.
Story time with Tim.
I wish I had some good story time music, but I don't. About a month ago, there's a girl on stage. And, you know, we're a nude club in Atlanta, so she's kind of bending over, shaking her ass a little bit. When management notices streamers coming out of her asshole. Remember, Glenn would probably remember this more than Dane. Remember when we were kids, we had our Schwinn bicycles, and on the end of the handlebars, they had those multicolored streamers that would blow in the wind?
Right.
That's kind of what this was happening. There were streamers coming out of her asshole. So the thought was, well, maybe she's got her taint pierced, because that's kind of a thing now where women actually, they pierce that area between their asshole and their vagina. So the thought was, well, maybe she has it pierced and she just has some decoration going on. She bedazzled her piercing. In closer inspection, turned out it was a butt plug with streamers attached to it.
But did it blink?
It did not blink. It just had like streamers, like it was had some bedazzles, some fake jewelry going on, like the jewels, and it also had some streamers inside her asshole. And so management informed her that you can't have anything inserted in your butt, baby. How you could work all night with something stuck in your ass, I don't really know. But she took it out. It made that sound. We're like, look, hey, but you cannot wear the...
No, it didn't. It did not make that sound.
You cannot wear the bedazzled butt plug. And it sounds like that when you take it out.
No, it just went...
This is not a made-up story.
First of all, when you said streamers, I was thinking of the ones that like you throw. So I was a little confused.
Well, you know the ones
those
we used
would
to
be
have
tassels or something. I think not really.
Yes, streamers. Yes, you're right, man. More of tassels. You're right. But remember when we were a kid, we used to have those things that you pulled the string and it was, they blew up and like streamers went everywhere.
Yep.
That's kind of was
party poppers.
Party poppers, Glenn.
She had a party popper.
She had a
ass.
Party popper coming out of her asshole.
Yes.
How great is...
I haven't seen the streamers, but I did see a young lady that had one that was lighted, and it would blink and, like, strobe and do all kinds of interesting things. And she would ask, how long do I have before I go on stage? Because I got to go put this thing in. And she would go and dance on stage and do splits and stuff. And I'm thinking, how the hell is that thing still in there? You know, I mean, but... She was only allowed to wear it for a brief period of time before that was stopped.
It was inserted in her butthole?
Oh, yeah. Yes, it was inserted, and it had a little piece that stuck out the end. And that.
What? When did this? I mean, I've been in this business for 30 years. When did this thing become a thing? I mean, this is the first I've heard of it. And now you say that it's actually happened before. You had a girl that had a fucking lighted butt plug going on.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it strobed, it blinked. I don't know if it was going to the music. I really was trying not to pay that much attention, but, it kind of, draws your eyes to it.
So she's on stage, And her bedazzled butt plug is lighting to the music. That, you know what? I'd pay to see that shit. I would actually, that's interesting to me. Having a lighted butt plug that could possibly go to the beat of the music. Maybe we can get out of this business after all and come up with something clever like that.
I don't know. I don't know how you do market that. I mean, what is there, you know, what's your campaign, your marketing campaign for that?
I don't know. I just thought that who would think that it's okay to have something come on your asshole like that, that actually, first of all, that it's okay to do that. I'm not sure what the law is with the stuff. I don't think you're allowed to have anything inserted or coming out of any orifices.
I don't know, but I mean...
Well, you guys are not helping me at all with this. I got a fucking girl with an anal, a bedazzled butt plug, and I got nothing from either one of you guys.
This is the information part of the program.
All right.
We're sharing. We're pulling the curtain aside.
Well, and then that's what's... Here's the problem. Glenn is 62. I'm 52. Dane is 49 now.
Fuck you. I'm 44.
I knew that was coming. I just wanted you to correct it. So we have nothing common with these girls that are putting anal butt plugs that think it's cool. And then I'm coming to work last night. True story. I'm trying to find something on satellite radio, and I can't find anything. So I throw in my iHeartRadio app, and Daughtry comes on. Now I'm all in. I turn this shit up. Let me get to the chorus. Now I got a tear streaming from my eye right now as I'm going to work. I'm thinking about my mom, who didn't even know Daughtry. But for some reason, I'm thinking moms. And I'm crying. I'm 52. I'm thinking girls' ass plugs. And I have nothing in common with these girls at work. But I am at the point where I don't argue with management. I don't disagree with a lot of people. I'm not angry all the time. And I think that's what I want to get to a little bit today on today's show, because a lot of the DJs that listen to our show are young. They think they're right about everything, because as DJs, we do kind of control. We pull the strings all night long. We're playing the music. We control the music. We control where the girls go, what stage they go on. We tell people what to do, tell people when to clap their hands, people how to spend money. So we're constantly kind of controlling the whole thing. So when someone tells us to do something, we have a problem with it usually. Usually it's something dumb like turn it down, it's too loud. Why does that go through us? Let me go to Glenn. I'm sure you've had a manager go to you and go, "Turn it down, it's too loud."
Oh my God. Usually that is the case, but as DJs, we think that we know exactly what we're doing. And we're doing it on purpose. And it doesn't sound good if it's not loud. You can't get a hold of the room. You can't, you know, just drive the room if the music's not loud.
I don't know why those words tend to set us off more than any as DJs. I don't get it. That and request. But I had a friend of mine told me once, he goes, "I knew I was ready to get married when I didn't want to kill somebody when somebody cut me off on the road." Because that's a good barometer on how you are with your, if you can control yourself or not.
What the fuck does that have to do with getting married?
Because if you cannot get mad when some guy usually inadvertently cut you off, right? Somebody cut you off, you want to kill that motherfucker when you're younger. I mean, I've seen guys chase him down, cut him off, get his attention, pull over and get a fight with that guy, Dane.
Yeah, yeah.
This is common for you, I know. Even at 44. But the thought is, if you can say the guy cut you off and go, "Ah, fuck it. Let him go. Who cares? He probably didn't mean it. And if he did, fuck him. No, nobody's hurt. Just go on. Fuck it. He's a dickhead." If you can get that mentality, then you can deal with a wife. Because there's going to be times where she's going to do shit to push your buttons, or you don't get her, or she's going to get mad at you, and you're like, "What the? Go ahead, baby. You're right." And so that happens a lot in the DJ booth. When you get a manager who maybe doesn't know as much as you think you know, who's telling you what to do that you don't think is the right thing to do, instead of going, I don't believe that. I don't think you should. I think the girl should go up. And when I call on stage, she needs to go out. Instead, just go, "Yeah, okay. Yeah, no problem, man. You want to do a review next? We only have 4 girls and 2 customers? Okay. Yeah, let's do it." Let's do it next. Instead of going, well, I don't think that's right. We only have two customers in here, only four girls. It's going to be a bad example. If we bring the girls on stage, we're not going to really show off that we have any men. You know, that kind of shit where you just want to fight with everything the manager decides. You're like, you got to disagree with the dude.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. When you get a little older, you get a little wiser. You don't want to be the manager. You don't want to be a floor host. You want to fucking floor. Dane has an issue with floor hosts the other day because they're what? Not checking in girls, right? And you're calling them on stage and you can't find them and they checked them in an hour ago or something.
Yeah, just bad communication skills.
We haven't got no fucking communication skills, man. Our communication skills suck.
We are communicators, though. That's what we do for a living.
Yeah, we talk at people.
Yeah, we talk at people. We don't communicate. Communicate would mean there's another side to the conversation.
When a manager tells you to turn it down, it's not a lot of communicating.
Well, I mean, are you at the point now where you're going to go, fuck you, I'm going to keep it up as loud as I can?
No,
or
you just going to turn it down? I agree with you, actually, Tim. And I think Bobby Mack posted something earlier this week on a post of yours, actually, that there was like safety and tranquility and a happy place if you just went to work and got in your job and didn't try and be a manager and didn't try and control everything and didn't try and run everything. You're a lot happier person if you just stuck to your job. Let the managers manage and let the general managers general manage.
Do you think it's an age thing, Dane, or do you think that's just you're just wired a certain way no matter how old you are?
I don't know. I think some things are just going to irritate you. So, yeah, I may be wired a certain way, but to a point. But I think that if the club isn't doing well and you're as much to blame as the manager or whoever else is involved in the decision making, I guess. So you're as apt to get fired for that as anybody else. So I don't want to look bad, and I don't like to be made to look bad. So if I can correct something or show somebody how to do it the right way, I feel like I should show them how to do it the right way. Now, maybe my approach sometimes should be a little...
There we go.
But I think that a lot of times I find, and you guys gotta know the same thing, that you're working with managers that are younger than you that have been in the business for 5-6 years, and they don't know what the fuck they're talking about, 99% of them. I'm sorry,
but
they don't.
Hold on a second, and fix your microphone while we're doing this. Hold on a second, because it's not your job to be his manager, to tell the manager what to do. I don't give a fuck if he's only had 6 months. You know what I mean? It's not your job unless somebody goes to you and says, Dane, hey, man, I need some advice here. What would you do in a situation like this? But to bark at a manager because you don't think he's doing it the right way is not your job.
Well, I understand it's not your job, but it's helps you to keep your fucking job if you can fix problems. You've got somebody that less experience that doesn't know. And so you're telling me if he's going to march off the fucking off a cliff that I shouldn't stop him? I mean, hey man, this is why this won't work. This is an example of why this won't work. Let's go ahead and do it. If you still want to do it, and then we'll see if it works. You know what I mean? But it's the approach more than the correction of an idea or something that they want to do, I think, more than anything. That I'm guilty of having a shitty approach.
I was going to ask you, in your history of approaches, how what was the percentage of approaches that you did correctly?
Up until now? None, probably. No, I don't know, maybe one or two, but I'm getting better at it. Now I just laugh. I think it's not... I honestly, over the last probably 6 months or so, I just kind of smile and I start laughing sometimes, and then I think that's probably more irritating.
I'm sure that goes over great.
Yeah, that's probably more irritating than me saying something, but I can't help it. It's just like I give up.
No,
you want a what?
I can't. I give up. Tired.
You're an idiot. Tell you.
Dane, you're 44 years old.
Yeah. You keep reminding me of that.
49. You're 40. You are the president.
I'm 54 years old.
You are the president of this Panda Group, which is the DJ Association, the biggest DJ association in the world.
Rah.
And you don't know how to handle a manager without laughing at them. What kind of example does that set as the president?
Well, I guess it's better than some of the alternatives, but I don't laugh at their and I laugh at them. I just they laugh about the idea and go on with whatever they tell me to do.
I'm sorry, you know, Glenn. Go ahead. What?
Fighting it doesn't do you any good.
He used correct. To punch him. Now he just laughs at him. It's a 100% improvement.
Have you ever punched a manager?
That I worked with?
Oh, God. Dane.
Not one that I worked with or worked for.
But you have punched a manager from a different strip club?
Sure, yeah.
Sure. Like it happened. Glenn, have you ever punched a manager?
Uh-uh.
Uh-uh.
No, it's been a long time ago, and you know.
Hey, Glenn, ask me if I've ever punched a manager.
Tim, have you ever punched a manager?
No, Glenn, never.
Hey, Glenn, ask me if I've ever hit anybody in the head with an album across the room.
Dane, have you ever hit anybody in the head with an album from across the room?
No, Glenn, I haven't.
It was the throat, not the head.
Wherever.
Well, actually, there was two. There was two instances. One was a girl. I threw it at her and hit her in the throat. I mean, it was records back then. They were like Frisbees. They flew weird. And the other was a customer. I told you that story, right, Glenn? I went into California Quake, who's one of our legendary DJs.
Right.
I walked into his club, and he was playing some piece of shit Rush song. And then I was drunk. And I walked in the DJ booth and I grabbed the mic and I go, how many people think this song's a piece of shit? And people started screaming. And I go, who wants to break this record? And meanwhile, I'm holding Quake off with one hand as I'm talking on the mic. And so I fucking took the needle off and threw the record and hit this dude right in the head and knocked him down. True fucking story. But it's not about me, Dane. It's about your anger issues.
It's not about you.
And how
my anger issues have subsided substantially over the past few years.
The point of this whole episode was to try and teach younger DJs on what not to do. How are we doing with that so far?
Yeah, there was a moral of the story somewhere in here.
Well, I think Dane started to touch on it. He's changed. And I think it's about the approach. It instead of just saying no or arguing, you can sometimes just say yes, but you know, here's how we have done it in the past, or here's how we sometimes do it. You might think about this sometime, and you can just make suggestions rather than argue and let it go. I mean, because the manager, especially young managers, they don't want to be challenged equally as much as most DJs. They're the manager, by God. You're going to do what I say. And so you're just button heads, and it's usually not going to come out well.
I was going to say, has it ever come out well where you argue with a manager or fucking challenges authority, and it turned out okay or great, turned out great?
I believe that there's some managers out there that are smart enough to want to work with the DJ, knowing that he is kind of the guy that's running the floor. And when they work together, it's more beneficial to the manager because his numbers go up.
Well,
so
yeah.
Why wouldn't he want to do that?
Absolutely. But that's we're talking about something different there. That's talking about communicating with the guy with not going and telling him what he's fucking up at or telling him what he's doing wrong.
Share your ideas if you have more experience than him of and he's going to want to pick your brain about that because he knows you have more experience. It's again, if you approach it the correct way, you guys can, you should work together and you should elevate him and make him more money in the process.
No, I agree with that. But how do you go about doing that? So let's talk about that then. How do you go about, instead of yelling at the manager who only has 3 years experience and you think you know more than he does, how do you approach him and say, look, I'm here to help you. You know, I've been in this business for 30 years. I could probably help you with a few things without making him feel less than.
Come up with solutions to existing problems that that he hasn't found answers to yet.
Glenn, show him that you can, this is what I like about Glenn. Glenn has sat back at 25 years of Baby Dolls and just let these guys come and go. Do you say much to these guys, Glenn? Do you tell them what could be better or how to do things?
I'm just the guy who's ever in charge of the dancers. I do communicate with them. But for the most part, we have such a system in place. I just let the system, I mean, it really doesn't matter a great deal who's there, who's not. There's hundreds and hundreds of them have come and went. We just let the system, you know, it's like.
So Baby Dolls is the Patriots of the strip club.
Yeah, if it's not broke, don't fix it. So you just let it go.
You just punch in players where needed.
Yep, pretty much.
That's great.
Pretty much.
How do you get to that point? How do you, I mean, that's kind of where we are. I mean, we have guys that have been there for 20 years, at least 20 people that have been there for 20 years at my club. So it's a well-oiled machine, and so there's not a lot of conflict because it's everything is set in place.
Right, and there's parameters for everything, and there's, you know, parameters of how stuff happens and what the procedures are, and nobody can break those procedures. You got to stay within them. So everybody's pretty much, the managers are all pretty much marginalized in how much they can do.
But I think longevity adds to that, too. At both your clubs, you have people, like you said, that have been there for a long time that know how to train and know the process that the owners want and everything like that. Now, some clubs don't have that. You know, there's a lot of clubs out there that have no chain of command, and they have people that have been there for 2 months or 3 months, and the changeover is very high, and it's hard to get any continuity that way. So you're not going to have...
And in our system, the managers are really, as I said, marginalized on what they can do. For instance, I don't know about a lot of clubs, but where I work, a manager can't even fire a girl. You can send her home for the night, but you can't fire. The only person that can fire would be a general manager on up. And then she's got to go to corporate office and before it's even finalized. I mean, so the managers... they can't go outside the format of music. I mean, we're only allowed to play what we can play, and you can't play anything else unless it's been approved by corporate. So, you know, our managers, it's the plug and play type of thing, is it really holds true because they are on a short leash, really.
I mean, we said this a million times. It starts with management. And so many guys talk about how girls run the show. Girls are picking the music. The girls want to hear slow hip-hop now. When all you'd have to do is have management come down and go, we can't play that music. We're not going to play that music. This is the DJ's format. Don't get mad at him. This is what we want. It's not the DJ's fault that he didn't play your slow-ass hip-hop.
Exactly.
You know, I don't know why more guys... You know why? I tell you why. Because they're afraid the girls are going to leave. So many managers and owners run scared that they're going to lose girls if they institute any kind of... boundaries or parameters. Yeah, I get it. You can't make the girls show up on time now. They can come and go with these lawsuits. A lot of them are just you come and go when you want. But that doesn't mean you can't control the music. Can't control, you know, a lot of that stuff that is not dancer related, you know, what they wear and everything. You can still control some shit. Don't be afraid because you're going to lose some dancers. I hate that. All right, so next week we're going to have Jessica Pressler on the show. Jessica wrote this story. She works for New York Magazine, The New Yorker, and she wrote a big, long article about a scam that went down at Scores in New York City. Did you guys read that article? Dane, did you read it?
Yes, I finally did read it, actually, the third time you asked me.
I mean, it's a long article about how girls were ripping off customers. They were basically finding these rich guys at restaurants, taking them to strip clubs, drugging them, and then racking up his credit card, maxing it out. And these guys would have like either black cards or $50,000 limits, and they would max them out. And they had it down to where they could actually, they would call Amex or whatever and tell the lady what the guy's passwords were, his mother's maiden name. And so there wasn't very many chargebacks. Well, this one doctor got ripped off for $150,000 in 3 days. He kept going back because he was in love with one of these girls, he said. There's love out there. So, why am I laughing? A lot of these guys would not report it either because the next day they would call these girls and go, hey, what the fuck, man? I got $50,000 on my credit card. She's like, yeah, we had a great time. No, I don't remember. Oh, no, you did. You don't remember? Oh, no, you approved it. Call your credit card company. It was all good. And so because they drugged them, a lot of these guys were really hazy about all the details. So the girl that wrote that article, Jessica Pressler, is going to come on the show next week. And I'm interested to hear. Yeah, I want to hear this whole story because I worked in New York City and a lot of girls, I mean, they're notorious clubs. I mean, the Gold Club did it here in Atlanta. They were taking guys.
Club Paradise in Vegas had the same issue a few years ago before they were sold. They were accused of doing the same thing there.
Of drugging the customers or just racking up their card and then, or both?
Both. Racking up their cards, signing for them.
I mean, this is the kind of shit that just, it pisses me off to no end. It angers me so bad that this is the kind of stuff that happens that gives our business a bad name. You know, girls ripping off customers. There was a scam going on at a club in town where girls would take guys in the VIP room under the guise of, hey, we're just going to show you around. Hey, let me give you a tour real quick. Hey, come check out the VIP room. Come sit down for a second. And then 30 minutes later, she would go, okay, well, you owe me and Jessica.
Right.
$350 each. You want to do another half hour? And he's like, what? I thought we were just, oh, no, we've been in here. It's $350 each. And because a lot of the guys are afraid that, you know, the bouncers are going to hurt them or kick them out or they don't want their wives to know and all that, they'll pay it. It's fucking infuriating to me. So, looking forward to that. We've also teamed up, Glenn, with Planet Platypus.
Yes, I'm excited.
I am kind of excited about this. PlanetPlatypus.com and that Planet Platypus show is back, and they started working on some things last night. They do a much better show than we do. Yeah, they actually do prep.
That's not that hard to do.
Yeah. They do. They do prep and comedy and news. Yeah,
they have routine. They're actually playing shit.
Yeah. He told me
that, like, versus the way we do stuff, or Dane, should I say, the way Tim does stuff, where he goes, hey, we got a show in 15 minutes. just be on, get on.
Do we have a topic? Topic.
Yeah, I got something I want to talk about.
No, we don't have a topic. Yeah, and meanwhile, I'm talking to Platt, and Platt goes, yeah, we're going to get together next Tuesday, and we're going to plan out the next 6 months of shows.
I love that guy.
That's a true story.
I believe that.
I was thinking, he's really? Like that. He's like, yeah, we're going to map it out. We're going to have every show planned out and all of our bits done and all of our guests in the next six. I go, wow.
We didn't plan out 6 minutes of our show.
Oh, no. We get up in the morning, and Dane will text me and go, you want to do a show? I go, I don't know. Let's see if Glenn's available. I'll text Glenn. Glenn goes, yeah, you know, I'm good.
Sure. Let's go. I don't even ask anymore. Do we have a subject, a topic? Do we have a guest? It doesn't make any difference.
Maybe that's why we're not increasing our listenership.
Maybe that's why we haven't got sponsors. Hey, but it's sponsors. Not going down. It's you know, we did have over. Sponsors. What about that fucking razor blade thing, man? We had them for a while, and now they're all over national TV. And I mean,
the razor blade thing?
Yeah. We started that Dollar Shave Club shit, man.
Yes. Dollar Shave that. Club. Now I see it on TV every 30 minutes.
We had them for a second?
Yeah.
Fuck. All right. Dollar Shave Club. Yes. We need to bring that shit back.
Remember stamps.com with the scale?
Stamps, oh, yeah. Stamps.com, everyone.
We had both free of them. Scale.
Well, we're hoping that with Planet Platypus coming on to our website, stripclubradioshow.com, that they'll bring on some sponsors for us.
Absolutely. They will.
So we can make some money. We're going to ride their coattails, in other words.
They're organized. They do things with Exotic Dancer magazine and so forth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did. Platt told me that the other night that he had the next 6 months planned out. I was like, wow, man, that is awesome.
He's meticulous. He's awesome.
We do. Hey, we have plans for next week.
Yeah,
Jessica Pressler.
We got a guest.
Those are tentative, though. Those are tentative.
All right.
Subject to change.
Meanwhile, every time I log on Skype to do this show, there's a bunch of my contacts come up. And now every time I see Danny Myers online, every time.
Yeah, he's another guy. This Danny Myers, one of our DJs in the group. It just he does a show every week. He works 7 days a week. He does videos and flyers. And
he does like 4 shows a week, man.
Yeah, he's amazing. In other words, we need to start doing. Let's step up in 2016, guys.
What happened to the 2015 in review?
It'd be a short show.
So long.
Take care now.
Bye-bye then.
Bye.
Strip Club Radio is coming to a close. But don't worry, baby. We'll be back soon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Go to stripclubradioshow.com or search Strip Club Radio on iTunes.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Bye-bye.
See you next time.